Matthew chapter 13, we're in this series, How to Hear the Word of God, or How to Hear God Speaking to You in the Preaching of the Word. Many people listen to preaching, very few actually know how to hear God speak to them through preaching and teaching within church gatherings. Reading from Matthew 13, and my message this morning, our fourth message is the good ground hearers. We're on the fourth type of soil, the fourth type of person, the fourth type of hearer that listens to preaching that Christ spoke about. And this one is the good ground hearer. Three were bad. One was good. That ought to warn us about the condition of our heart in hearing the preaching of the gospel. Matthew 13 verse 3. And he, that is Christ, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And verse 8, But other seed fell into the ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. In verse 16, But blessed are your eyes, for you see, or they see, and your ears, for they hear. And then lastly, just down to verse 23, But he that received seed into the ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for your word this morning. Father, we want to see what a heart looks like, what a soul, what a person, what an individual looks like who actually hears the word, receives it, and brings forth fruit. My God, we want to be good listeners of the word of God. We want to learn how to hear your voice speaking in the word of God. My God, I'm asking for your grace and your mercy that we see more than a preacher, that we hear more than a preacher's voice. My God, I do pray that your grace, your wisdom, and your insight would come down upon us in this gathering, revolutionize our life, change us through the preaching of your word, mold our thoughts, mold our attitudes through the washing of the water of the word. We love you, and we praise you, and we acknowledge, Lord God, that your word is authoritative, and Lord God, we bow the knee at the fact that you have ordained the preaching of the gospel to save souls. You have ordained this means of heralding, of proclaiming, of preaching, of expounding the word of God to save souls, to change them, nor God to make them like Jesus. We love you, and I ask for your blessing upon the preaching of your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message is the good ground hearers here this morning. We've already looked at three types of hearer, or three types of person who sits under the word of God. We first of all, and this is Christ teaching, he spoke about the wayside hearer, how there were pathways, there were hard areas where everybody walked through the fields, and some of the seed of the word fell on those pathways or that hard ground. And we heard that that is a picture of the type of person who listens to the preaching of the word. They are there in the gathering. They sit there attentive, listening to the word, but their heart is so hardened. They don't look hardened. They don't seem hard-hearted. But what it is so many people, so many ideas have crossed across their path, so many thoughts in their mind, so many teachings that they've heard. They've listened to so many people that the actual ground of their heart is hard, and the seed of the word bounces off the seed of the word. You see, the wayside here is someone who listens to the preaching and yet the Word of God doesn't really affect them. They can sit in every Wednesday night, they can sit in the meetings on Sunday. They sit there listening to the Word of God. They hear it with the ear and the outward mind, but it never really affects them. They never get born again, they never get saved, they never get changed, and they don't get sanctified as a Christian. They actually get stuck as baby Christians at the very best. But there's a second type called the stony ground. This person does not seem like stony ground. On the surface they look fine, but underneath the ground it is all rock, it is all hard, it is all tough. But yet this person is the most deceptive. They receive the Word of God with joy. They receive it immediately. There is immediate growth. They show all the signs of being a remarkable Christian, and yet we're told that under the surface is hard rock which the seed of the Word cannot penetrate, and that harvest actually dies. They seem to produce fruit, but the fruit dies because there's no room for its roots to go deep. As soon as they get tempted, as soon as trials come, as soon as they get persecuted, immediately they fall away from the faith. That's what Christ taught. Then there's the third person. You can see we are going to encounter all these people in the history of this church many times over. The third type of person is the thorny ground hearer. Now listen to this, the third person. This is ground. It has been plowed. It has been prepared. There is growth there. But when the Word of God comes, the seed of God's Word, it actually does begin to germinate. It does begin to grow. There is fruit on this ground again for the second time. But as it begins to grow, so the weeds, the thorns, all the encumberment of that ground grows as well. There's much in that ground. They haven't got rid of the weeds. They haven't got rid of their love for this world, and so these weeds choke to death the Word of God. The Word of God is there. The Word of God does have an effect. The Word of God does begin to grow, but it actually gets destroyed by those weeds that are in the life. Since all of these are pictures of people who listen to preaching, who hear the gospel with the ear, who even outwardly respond to it, who say, I believe this, or they begin to walk and set off on a journey of obeying the Word of God. Yet only one of the four types of ground really does become a real believer or bear true fruit. Here this morning, I want to deal with the fourth type of ground, the good ground hearer, depicting a type of ground that grows well or brings forth a harvest, or a type of person who knows how to listen to the preaching of the gospel, who gets born again through it, who actually grows through it. They have learnt the ability how to hear God in the preaching. They don't come to hear a man. They don't come to see a preacher. They actually become aware that through preaching and teaching of the Bible, that God is there speaking to them. Listen to what Christ said in Matthew 13 and 9. These are the words of Christ. He says, who has ears to hear? Let him hear. In other words, if you have ears, then hear the Word of God. That means that everybody who has ears does not hear the Word of God. In every meeting and all preaching, everybody hears with the ear. Everybody may understand the words with their mind. And yet Christ is saying, you could have ears and yet you do not hear. You could have physical ears, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about spiritual hearing, where you can hear God speak to you. Not physical ears that you hear the preacher, but there is a deeper way of hearing. And Christ says, if you have ears, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Those who are deaf are going to remain deaf. Those who are utterly closed to God are not going to hear what he's saying. Those who are desperate to hear from God, those who are crying out from their heart, oh God, speak to me. when the word of God is preached, it's going to speak to their hearts. Christ is saying here, if you're blind and deaf, then remain that way. But if you actually want to hear from God, you're eager to hear from Him, then listen carefully. He also says in Mark chapter 4, 24, and this is Christ again speaking unto them, take heed what ye hear. Not only to hear, but to be careful what you hear. Christ says, be very careful what you hear. In other words, be careful who you listen to. Be careful what teaching you receive. Be careful what preachers you go and sit under. Be very careful what you hear, or who you go and hear, or what message you hear. Because if you receive a wrong message, it will affect your entire life and affect your eternal soul. I assure you, that's why I take great care about what I preach and what we bring forth in the midst and who we bring in to preach. Why? We are to be very careful what we hear. Because what gets preached here is going to mold and affect all of our lives. Then Christ goes further in Luke chapter 8 and 18. He not only says to hear, He not only says to take heed what you hear, He says take heed therefore how you hear. So notice you're to hear. You're to be careful what you hear. And you're also to be careful how you hear. Do you realize all of yous are going to listen to me here this morning in different ways? All of yous are at different places taking different levels of care over how you hear. And yet Christ says, you are to take heed. You're to give attention. You're to give effort. You're to watch over how you hear. It's not only me preaching. I've worked hard to get in this pulpit and preach to you. But you know what? You are now to work hard to take heed to what you're hearing. You've got to be careful that you're hearing. Don't let your mind get distracted. Don't let the devil steal the word of God from you. Don't let the weeds in your life choke the word of God to death. There is a way that you can hear that the word of God, though it be simple, can change your life and wash you and sanctify you and change you and deliver you from secret sins or deliver you from the power of the devil. The word of God has the power to do that. But you must take heed how you hear, what you hear, and to hear the Spirit of God speaking. Christ again in Luke chapter 9, 44, He says, let these sayings, or these things I'm teaching and preaching, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Now Christ isn't speaking about the ears on the side of your head. You don't need to put any effort to allow the word of God to get into them. There's no effort whatsoever. If you have hearing ears, you're going to hear me. But Christ is laboring, saying there is a deeper level of hearing that changes your life. And that's why you can be here and say, but I listen to preaching, why am I no different? Because you didn't hear. Oh yes, I did. No, you didn't hear. That's why you walk out of meetings and you're unchanged. You can hear it. You can understand it. You get more knowledge. You even enjoyed the experience. You love it. It could even convict you. And yet you've never heard the voice of God. All you've heard is a preacher. All you've listened to is Keith Malcolmson. But can I tell you, within true biblical preaching, there is a voice, if you listen carefully enough to, you will hear the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let me give you a story to illustrate it. It was like a story I once heard of a child going with his father to a large orchestra. The child, like I would have been growing up, was utterly ignorant about orchestras or instruments or all the different things that go on Okay. See, I can't even say the words. Candace is educated in this. This was her life. The little fella went along to something he couldn't even pronounce the name of. And his daddy sat him down. He knew this was a big event. There were all the instruments, all the sections, and such. Oh, you could hear the violins tuning up, and you heard all the different instruments in the drum roll, and everybody was getting actually ready. It was a big event, and the young boy had never been with his father to an orchestra before. This was his first time. His father was very excited. His father knew every instrument. His father knew all the music. His father understood the message in the music that was to be conveyed. Well, the father was sitting there brimming over with excitement, and he said, "Son, listen very careful in this song to the flutes. Now listen to me, it's going to be beautiful. Listen very careful to the sound of the flutes, to the music of the flutes. It's the high part of all this piece of music." The little child sat there listening very careful, squinting his eyes, trying to catch everything that is going on. After a long time into the music, as the piece of music began to come to an end, the father looks at him and said, "Wasn't it wonderful, son?" The little boy looked back at him, utterly puzzled, befuddled, confused. And he said, "Father, what flutes? I couldn't hear any flutes." The father was dumbfounded. You see, the ear of the father was attuned and trained, and he could discern the voice of the flutes playing in the midst of the entire orchestra. Now listen to me carefully. The little boy couldn't tell the difference between the noise of a flute and the noise of a violin. Everything was just carrying on. He listened carefully for the flutes, but he could not hear them. He tried to enjoy it, but he lost everything by straining to hear the flutes. Many people in churches are like that. Can I tell you, you can come here, you enjoy the worship, you hear the prayers, we gather around the Lord's table, you hear the preacher, you're involved in the fellowship, you say hello and goodbye to each other. You have been here and you have never heard the flute playing. In the middle of the preaching, you didn't hear God speak to you. In the prayer meeting, in the worship, you never had an experience of the Spirit of God. You enjoyed the preaching. You enjoyed the singing. You were there in the prayer meeting. You're encouraged by it all. But you never had an encounter with God. You never learned to hear the Spirit of God in the meeting or in the church. You never attuned yourself to say, "That is God, the Holy Ghost, speaking to me." Since I've sat in meetings where it was the preacher preaching and one word was spoken, it came as a "Thus saith the Lord" from heaven, and it changed the whole direction of my life. Just one moving of the Spirit of God, and it changed my entire life. You see, a Christian needs to learn to how to hear the Spirit of God. A sinner seeking after salvation has to get past the preacher. When you come to hear the gospel, you may need saved, born again. You've got to get past the preacher, Keith Malcolmson. You're here to meet with God. You need to hear from heaven. And if you do, you'll walk out of this room born again. Your sins forgiven. Your heart changed. Made anew. There is a power in preaching. There is a miracle happening this morning. There is a moving of the Holy Spirit here this morning. Christ himself actually taught about the preaching of the word. Three people can sit in that meeting utterly unaffected. Two of them seem to bear fruit, seem to become Christians, but then fall away from the Lord. But there is a fourth type of person who has learned to hear God speak to them. Let me come to my message here this morning. The good ground hearer. We have already read in Matthew 13 about this fourth type of soil. Listen to what Christ said about it. He said that some seed fell onto good ground or into good ground. The word good there means beautiful, valuable, useful, usable. In other words, this is good ground. It's fully prepared. The seed fell upon ground that was already prepared. It was plowed. It was worked over. It wasn't going to take any effort for the seed to fall into it or to begin to germinate or to bear fruit. It was all ready. That shows me that a heart that's been prepared receives the word of God. Now notice, this was good ground. When you looked at it, it was valuable. You're going to get a return from it. Some people you can put a lot of work into, you get nothing back from. Other people in the church, you do give very little work to it, and you get an awful lot back. That's what Christ is saying here. You can pour a lot into one person, there's nothing to show for it. You pour very little in, but what you do pour into another person, it brings forth fruit. Now Jesus said here on this ground, when the seed fell into the ground, that it began to yield or began to bring forth or it sprang up. It come up quickly. It began to grow. It germinated. This ground was so good, it made the seed to begin to germinate and grow. And as you looked at this ground, fruit began to grow on this ground. Jesus said, some 30-fold. Some 60-fold and some 90-fold. You see, in this area, there was 30-fold return from that seed. Over here, there was double that. There was 60-fold return. And over here, there was 90-fold return. Do you know what that actually means? In Christ's day, you usually got about a 10-fold return on your seed. When you sowed the seed in the Middle East in the first century, you got about a 10-fold return. But Christ is saying, with the Christian life, those who hear the word of God, there is a far greater return in their life. He's not speaking about natural things. Notice this good ground. There's nobody stamping over the ground. There isn't a pathway through this ground. The ground hasn't been made hard. Neither are there birds stealing the seed. Neither is the ground shallow. And neither are the roots hindered on this ground. Neither is there thorns. Look at this bit of ground. All the weeds, all the roots have been cleared out of it. It's plowed over. It is deep soil. The sun is shining on it. The rain is falling on it. This is good ground. What does this bit of good ground represent? I'm going to tell you here this morning in few words. First of all, the first point about this good ground. What is the good ground? Jesus actually tells us that the good ground is a parable. It's a picture. And it represents a good and an honest heart. That's the first thing. Notice this soil. The good and the honest heart. That good soil that brings forth fruit is good and honest heart. That's the two things about this heart. Now we know naturally, no soil is good. The Bible says no man is good. Do you remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and fell? The entire ground, the soil, became cursed. And we're told that weeds and roots began to grow. And what God said to Adam, you're now going to have to work hard if anything good comes out of that soil. You're actually going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Well, I think I earn my keep as a preacher, don't I? I'll sweat in my preaching. But what God said is, that ground, if anything good is going to come out of it, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to break your back. You're going to work from morning to night. You're going to labor very hard to get any fruit, any harvest out of that ground. You see, the soil of man's heart is cursed. That is your natural condition, all of you in this room. Can I tell you, all of your hearts were bad. All of the soil was no good. All of it was infested with weeds. Every one of you in this room. Some of us aren't good and some of us bad. All of you were bad. All of you were cursed. All of you were under the curse of the fall of Adam. All of you had weeds grown. All of you were shallow. All of you were hardened in heart. That is our natural condition. And yet the Bible says here, look at this ground. This good soil is a heart that is good and honest. What made this heart good? It was plowing. Because we know all ground is cursed and weedy. Naturally. How do you make bad ground good? It's going to take an awful lot of labor. You're going to make that ground good by the sweat of your brow. By back-breaking work. You're going to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to have to go through a narrow gateway. You're going to have to forsake all to follow Him. You're going to have your heart convicted and dealt with. You're going to have to repent of your sin. Since that's what the turning over of the soil is. All soil is bad. But what Christ is saying here, when you look at this bit of ground, it actually means a lot of work has gone on in this ground. Good ground does not just happen. You can't pray last thing at night and say, Lord, will you make the ground in my garden good by the morning? I'm going to pray hard, I'm going to believe hard, and I'll walk out tomorrow, and it'll all be beautiful, and all these flowers are going to be growing. I'm just going to believe hard, but I'll do nothing. I want to assure you, God isn't going to answer that prayer. What God would speak to you if you heard Him, He says, well, you're going to get your shovel, your spade from the garage. You're going to get out there and start digging holes. I don't like digging holes. Well, then you're not going to have a nice garden. Since someone has to go out into that soil and break their back. They have to take the stones out of the soil. They have to turn it over. Or as we used to say, you double dig the earth. In other words, you dig it once and you go back over it. You double dig it. The entire thing, if you want something to grow. You remove the weeds. You remove the roots. You funnel through all of that soil. Why are you doing that? I want things to grow here. I want a good harvest. I want beautiful things to be here. I want this to be the garden of the Lord. How do you do it? You dig it over. You're searching through it. You're making it ready. And notice here, it is a good and an honest heart. Remember what I said the good heart is? It's a beautiful, valuable, useful, and usable heart. Show me someone who comes seeking after God. Oh God, I want this heart to receive your word. Oh God, I want my life to be changed. Oh God, I want to hear what you're saying to me. When someone begins to repent of their sin, to cry out to God, coming under conviction of sin, when they begin to prepare their heart, it is a beautiful thing when you meet someone and they say, I want God. I want to do whatever it takes to meet with God. I know that I can't sit back and say, well, God will save me when He wants to save me. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but God never neglects a man going out and digging that soil over. Do you want born again? Then dig over the soil of your heart. You can't let all those weeds that choke the word remain there. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, lust, all of that fill in the ground. It's no good. If you don't plow into that ground and begin to break it up, then the word of God will bounce off you, or the devil will steal the seed. Begin to prepare the good ground of your heart and make it useful and valuable. Notice as well in Luke chapter 8 verse 15. It talks about an honest and a good heart. I'm telling you what good ground is. A ground that hears from God. Have you ever seen anyone in church who instantly receives the gospel? There had to be preparation. Their heart is wide open. They are ready to receive. While others struggle for years, someone can come right into the church and say, I believe this. Sometimes you don't know whether is that seed, is that ground 2? Or ground 3? Or ground 4? Well, just wait. We're going to find out, I can assure you. But notice it's not only good ground, it's honest ground. This heart is a honest heart that receives God's word and is changed. What is an honest heart? It's talking about honesty, openness, reality, transparency, sincerity. They tell the truth about their own heart. They accept the truth about their own heart. They're not covering it with excuses. They're not blaming the plumber down the road. They're not blaming someone in their family. They're actually acknowledging their own sin. It is an honest heart. When you deal with someone who is honest about themselves, it is beautiful. Do you realize when someone is struggling with unforgiveness, but they don't tell you the truth, you can't help them? But if another person is struggling with the same unforgiveness, and yet they're honest and they're open, and they come saying, how can I get free of this? You can help them. The first person, they're not honest. Both have the same sin. Both have the same battle. But one is honest. The other is trying to live a lie and pretend. In their heart they know they can't get victory. But really their heart isn't genuine. It's not sincere. What is an honest heart? It's a heart that's open to conviction, to the searching of God, and to repentance. So that's the first thing about this good soil. That God commends and say, it's a picture of a person who knows how to hear God in the preaching. How do you make your heart open to hear God? How do you have ears to hear God speak and preaching? It's your heart. When you walk in here, if your heart is good and your heart is honest and you prepare your heart, doesn't matter if you're a sinner or if you're saved. Doesn't matter if you're a backslider. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. If you begin to prepare yourself and say, I want to prepare the soil of my heart. Why? I want to hear God in the preaching. I don't just come to hear Keith. I don't just come to church. I'm actually looking to get beyond that, to go deeper where the word of God goes down into my ears and I hear God speak from heaven. A God who knows my heart. A God who hears my cry. A God who searches the deep things of a man's heart. A God who can change me. You see, you prepare the ground of your heart. It's got to be good. It's got to be honest. That isn't much to ask. God is not asking you to change your life. He's not asking you to grow beautiful things. You don't grow it. All you do is prepare the ground for God to work. Secondly, notice here with me, the word of God and good ground. The word of God and good ground. These two things connect here in this parable. We actually read in Christ's parable, he says that the seed fell into good ground. He scattered the seed and some of it fell on good ground. Not all of it. Three times it didn't work, but that fourth time, I'm going to show you, I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep evangelizing. I'm going to keep praying. You know why? There is a harvest in this city of Limerick. There is the many wayside hearers we've encountered. We have encountered the stony ground hearer and the thorny ground hearer, but there is the good ground here in this city. They're hidden from us. They're in the bars and the pubs and the discos. They're in the Catholic Mass, or they're across the road and at their Muslim mosque. Wherever it is, they're scattered all over the city. But since we've got to scatter the seed of God's word, one of these days that seed is going to fall into a prepared heart. He could be a Muslim who's never heard the gospel. He could be an atheist who's crying out for reality. He could be a Catholic that's been searching for forgiveness of sins. We must keep scattering the seed of God's word. Christ said that when the man dropped good seed into good ground, something happened. Something actually happened. He gives four things of what this typifies. What does the seed falling into good ground represent? Represents four things. First of all, it represents hearing the word of God. Do you know, in this entire chapter of Matthew 13, we read the word hear 19 times. In these few short verses, we read it 9 times. Look at verse 16 here with me. Christ speaking to his disciples. And he calls them aside and he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Notice Peter was there, and John was there, and Matthew was there. You see, it preached to the multitudes, and all the multitudes nodded. All the multitudes gathered. All the multitudes have been healed. But when Christ went aside, he took the few aside with him. Who were they? They were the good ground hearers. And you know what he said? He said, blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. Your eyes are actually open, not talking about your physical eyes. Do you realize this morning, you could have eyes and you can see me, but you could have other eyes that are blind to Christ. You cannot see Christ. I can see Christ this morning. I actually have eyes that see him. Not physically, but I'm telling you on the inside of me, I have spiritual eyes. Christ said, blessed are you if you see. I do see this morning. Once I was blind, but now I see. It's a miracle of God. I can see Christ high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father. I can also hear him. Blessed are you if you hear. Notice the seed dropping into the ground. It represents those who hear. Not with their ear, but with their inner spiritual ear, with the ear of the heart. Do you realize you have ears on the inside of you? They're either deaf or they're wide open. One or the other. Or they could have become dull over a period of time where you can no longer hear as you ought to. Christ also said, this person is those not only who hear God speak to them, but they understand what is being said to them. Through the preaching of the word they go, I know God is speaking to me. I also understand it. The word understand means to put all the pieces together. Facts are all lined up and it all begins to come together and they go, I see, now I understand. I'm beginning to comprehend what all of this means. I do understand what God is saying to me. In Mark it says that they received it into their heart. They not only hear the word of God, they not only understand it, they receive it. They accept it. Are you fighting against the word of God? Is there truth in the Bible when you hear them, when you read them, when you talk about them and they're hard things? Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus teaching the multitudes and they got angry with him. Before he started speaking, they all said, we follow you, the multitudes. They saw his miracles, they believed in him, they heard his teaching. And then he begins to teach again. And you know what they began saying? Who can hear these things? These things are too hard. Ever heard a Christian say it? Ever heard someone in the church say, here, this preacher's too hard. Really? What do you mean? Oh, nobody can live like that. But is it the word of God? Is it in the Bible? Did Christ teach it? And Paul and Peter and John, did they teach it? And you're saying it's not possible. Do you know in John 6, the disciples, and they're called disciples, they said about Jesus, hey, no one can live this life. Hey, it's not practical. Hey, it's not real. Then you haven't heard God speak. If you hear God speak and you understand and you receive. See, some people aren't receiving it, they're excusing it. No, no, I don't need to be like that. Then you're not receiving the word of God. You need to open your heart wide and say, oh boy, this is killing me. Man, I cannot live this life by myself, but I do believe the word of God. I will believe in Christ. I will follow Christ. I don't know how I can, but I look to the Spirit of God to work in me. They just receive it all. You know, in the Old Testament, it says when they got the word of God, it was bitter in their mouth. Some of them spat it out. Went, I don't like it. It's bitter. It's tart. And they spat out the word of God. Man, you made a mistake. The word of God is better when it comes. That's what it does taste like. But it says those who swallowed it, when they swallowed the word of God, it was sweet in their belly. You see, until you receive it, you'll never find the sweetness of the gospel. You'll always think it's an enemy. It's attacking me. It's trying to steal what's good. It's trying to ruin my fun. What fun? What fun? I've met lots of sinners in my time. Okay, tell me what you're... wonderful life of sin is like. Tell me how good your life of living it up, drinking it up, drugging your head out, going with different girls, them dumping you, you dumping her. Tell me what your life of sin is like. And you think the word of God is better. To those who swallow the word of God, it is wonderfully delightful.
Amen.
We not only hear the word of God, understand it, then receive it. In Luke it says that those who receive the seed into the good ground, they keep it. They keep the word of God. You know what that means? It means to hold it down. To say, it's not getting away from me. I'm going to stand on the word of God. You ever stood on something you didn't want to get away? You know, Shiloh's lead, sometimes I'm doing something. So I put her lead under my heel. I'm heavier than her. She's not going to pull me over. She isn't going anywhere. I've got her under my foot by that lead. She isn't going to run off. Saints, you need to be like that, the word of God. I'm going to write it on my forehead. I'm going to quote it when I get up in the morning. Last thing at night, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to write it on my fridge. I'm going to have it everywhere. Every direction I turn, I want to be confronted with the word of God. To keep the word of God means to hold it down, to seize it, to possess it, to make it your own, to say, I'm not letting the word of God get away. This gospel that can save me, this word of God that can sanctify me, this truth that could deliver me from some secret sin, this that I know within the Bible, yes, its message is clear, yes, it's straight, yes, it's convicting, yes, it comes as bitterness. But I know there's a sweetness with the word of God. I know if I hold it, I know if I receive it, I know if it comes into the heart of my life, it will change me. I cannot change myself. I cannot stop being what I was. I cannot do that. But I can allow the word of God to work in my life. This is the great reason why you want to hear God speak to you. Because the word that God speaks into your life, through preaching, through teaching, it will change you. It'll do what you cannot do. I learned this many years ago. Now when I'm listening to preaching, I go, amen, amen, amen. You know why? I'm out of my heart. I'm going, I can't do this. But if God says it, and he says, I will do it in you. I go, amen, amen. I'm not there looking at me saying, I can't do this. I can't live like this. I've tried before. I never say that. I'm there saying, if the word says it, that is truth. Everything else is a lie. The word of God is true. I can be saved this morning. I can be changed. I can be born again. My nature can change. I can go free this morning. Here this morning, can you hear the word of God? Do you understand it? Do you receive it? Are you willing to keep the word of God? To lay a hold of it with both hands and saying, I'm not letting go of the truth. You know what the Bible says? Buy truth. Pay a price for it. But it goes further. It says, don't sell it. You see, some people buy the truth. And then a little bit down the word, they sell the truth for a price. They did buy the truth, they did carry it, but they sold it along the way. You see, the Bible is very strong and clear on this, how the word of God, or the seed of God's word, affects good ground. You prepare the good ground. You turn over the soil. You begin to get rid of those weeds. And the word of God is going to have an effect. It says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice, faith cometh by hearing. There's a certain type of hearing, God, where faith comes into your heart. You can receive the substance of faith. You're here saying, I cannot believe. I don't know how to believe. I wish I could believe. Do you realize in the midst of preaching, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we emphasize preaching. It's so important to be under preaching. So vital to listen to preaching. Because as you listen it, you could suddenly have faith come into your heart and saying, I do believe, I will believe. I'll follow the Master. Instantly faith cometh through the word of God and the preaching of God's word. James actually says in chapter 1, 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive it into yourself. Let it be engrafted. Let the word of God be engrafted into your life. Let it grow into your life, which is able to save your soul. It says in Hebrews 4:2, but the word of God did not profit them. Who is it speaking about? 2 million people in the wilderness. Remember when they walked through the wilderness for 40 years, being led by Moses. It says in Hebrews 4, the word preached did not profit them. It did not help them. It did not change them. 2 million people. The word was preached to them, and yet 2 million of a congregation. Man, I've got to bear the Moses, I tell you that. He had a congregation of 2 million. They were hearing the preaching of the word. But it says it did not profit them. Do you know you can listen to preaching and it doesn't profit you or help you? You're there in meetings. You're coming. You understand. Say, I do believe this, but it never profits you. Why is that? Listen to what he said. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you don't believe the word of God, it has no effect in you. You can sit listening to all the preaching, but if you don't reach out and say, I'm going to put faith in the word of God, I'm going to act in the word of God, I'm going to receive it into my life, it has no effect. But I assure you, the word of God can change your life. The word of God has power in it. It has creative power. Do you know it was the word of God that spoke our entire creation together? Do you know it says in Hebrews that the entire universe, the planets, the cosmos is held together by the word of God's mouth? Do you realize the word of God keeps everything functioning? Amen. When you don't allow the word of God into your marriage, it doesn't work. When you don't allow the word of God to function in the church, it doesn't work. When you keep the word of God out of any area of your life, it doesn't work. It all falls apart because the word of God has the power to keep all things together. Paul writing to Timothy says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Don't we want to raise these children with a knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, the written Bible, the word of God, the preaching, the teaching of God's word? Timothy was such a young boy. From a child, he had a knowledge of what the Bible taught. And Paul says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Why do we want an atmosphere where children will grow up here? Do you know why? They'll find Christ as their Savior. Where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is, they're going to find that Jesus is the Savior of their sins. So notice this, when the Word of God comes to this ground, something happens. But thirdly and lastly, fruitfulness. Not only do we see the good and the honest heart, the soil prepared. Not only do we see the seed of God's word, the power of God's word coming into that soil. But third and lastly, we see the effect, the impact, the power of it. What does the word of God do in a good heart? Or in a heart that's been prepared? Thirdly, fruitfulness. In this parable, Jesus says that this seed in the good ground brought forth fruit. It bare fruit. Or fruit began to spring up. That was the result of God's word coming into the life. If there's no fruit in your life, there's something wrong. Do you hear me? If there's no fruit, if nothing is growing, if nothing is happening, there's something wrong below the surface. You know, I don't know engines like Paul, but I know him. If there's a noise in that engine, he's not like me. I'll drive for 2 hours. Dong, 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 dong. Canis will say, what's that? I don't know. I just hope nothing happens until we get to where we're going. It can happen when you're in the car, but not when I'm driving here. So you hear the noise, just ignore it. Get it to garage as soon as possible. Paul goes, I've got to stop and find it before we take our drive. I'm going to find out what this is. Well, you know what? I'm like that with spiritual things. If something isn't working in your life, there is a reason. If you're not getting saved, there's a reason. If you're not changing, there's a reason. If you're not growing, there's a reason. If you're not maturing in knowing how to minister the word of God to each other, there is something wrong. That isn't normal. If the ground is good and the word is good, there ought to be fruit. See, Jesus said where the seed was sown in good ground, it sprang up. In fact, he goes further. He says it not only sprang up and began to bear fruit, that it actually increased over the ground. It multiplied. It didn't just stay little shoots. It began to spread out. And you go, where did all this come from? From the seed of God's word going in the heart. Why are you such a loving person? And I know it takes time. Saints, how do you find a Christian who's walked with Jesus many years and they've had the heart ripped out of them and many terrible things done to them? And I've met them. You've got an old friend, she's what, 80 or 95 at the minute. She has the most beautiful heart I've ever met. But you know what? She's had terrible things happen to her. Why is it like that? You know why? Love has grown. She wasn't like that at the beginning. She had to grow into that. And Luke, Jesus says that this ground brings forth fruit with patience. That means with time. It takes time for fruit to grow. Don't judge fruit before it's time. It's going to have to be tested by the sun. The sun is going to scorch down. Temptations are going to come. You know, when I see fruit in life, I'll go, let's just watch what happens when the sun gets up. And when the temptation comes and the old friends come back into your life or somebody hurts you, I'll know if there's good fruit there. Let somebody trample all over your garden. Yeah. And now we're going to see if you're filled with the love of God. You know, it's like an orange, whatever you squeeze, or a lemon. Whatever you squeeze, the juice that comes out, that's what's inside. Do you know what you can tell what's inside a person? Just squeeze them. Just put them under pressure. Just hurt them or lie or do something they don't like. You're going to find out everything that's inside them. You go, man, that's all on the inside. You know, someone does something and say, man, I don't know where that come from. I don't know why I said that to you. I know. That's in you. Man, that's such a shock. I just don't know why I acted like that. I do. Out of the heart of man come a thousand things. That's actually inside of you. But notice this with fruit. It says they bring forth fruit with patience. The word patience there means endurance. Stickability. The word endurance actually means to stay under. To undergo trials. To stay in your place. When temptation comes, you're still there. When trials come, you stay there. When the troubles come, you stay there. How do you bring forth fruit in your life? It happens gradually, progressively. You know, if anyone walks in this church, gets born again, and they've got all the fruit of the Spirit, I'll get very worried. I'll go, actually, they're a stony ground here. They get all the fruit. They look so spiritual. Let's just wait a year. And you'll see, is that fruit real fruit? Will the sun burn it and wither it? Will the weeds choke it to death and leave it utterly unfruitful? We're going to find out if this is real fruit. How? It's going to be there in the morning. It'll be there in a year's time. It'll still be grown in 5 years' time. It's the ability of stickability. Patience is the key to bringing forth fruit. Maybe you're here and as a Christian you think you're not growing fast. Or there's not much fruit. Please remember it takes years for fruit to grow in a Christian's life. It is an entire lifetime of growing, becoming more like Jesus Christ. What is the fruit? Fruit is holiness. It's not evangelism. It's not souls. It's not miracles. It's not preaching. It's not knowledge. It's none of that. It's not ability. It's not gifting. It's not charisma. It's none of that. It's not anointing. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not prophesying. It's not dreams. It's not vision. None of that is fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is holiness. Only a real Christian will walk holy. Only a real Christian will have power to overcome sin. Don't expect a sinner to overcome sin. That's what's so terrible about the sinner's prayer. You want Jesus? Yes. You believe you want to go to heaven? Yes. Then say this prayer after me. They've never got born again. But you know what? They're very sincere. Then they try to live like a Christian and go, why is it so impossible? Maybe you were never born again in the first place. And the saints, we've dealt with this from day one. Most churches don't. You know what most churches do? Sunday night, they'll be there, church of 100. Lift your hand if you want Jesus. All these people, they're not under conviction. They don't even know what they're saying. Just pray after me. There, you're saved. And if you get any doubts, it's the devil. Don't believe it. Put your faith in the scripture. Just ignore what anyone tells you. What if the Holy Spirit's trying to say, you're not born again and you need born again. And you never turn from your sin. And you need an experience with me. And I want to cleanse you. And all the time they're saying, no, I'm not going to listen to anyone who makes me doubt. You see, fruit is holiness, Christ-likeness, becoming like Jesus. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The Bible says it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the Christian life. This is the fruitful Christian. If you look at someone and know those fruit are not there, I mean it's barren, or it grew for a time and then it's dead. They need to get born again. They need to become a Christian. This is the Christian life. Yes, it grows. Yes, you have a flesh life. Can you get angry? Yes. Can I tell you, this preacher can get an attitude that he has to repent of? Do I have a flesh life? Yes. Can something come into this heart? Yes. Resentment, anger, bitterness, jealousy, lust, whatever, envy. And all of that, when it appears, I go, man, I don't want this in my heart. Weeds, get these weeds out of here. Let's weed the garden. Why? I want beautiful flowers to grow in my garden. If you weed the garden, then the word of God will grow in your heart. Saints, I promise you, if you're born again and your faith is in Christ, the word of God will bear fruit in your life. Not always instantly. But it's through the trials and the troubles and the temptation that the word of God. Can I exhort you as we close this message here this morning? Like the little boy, listen for the flutes. Can I tell you, go beyond the preaching, the worship, the prayer meeting, the knowledge, the fellowship. Go beyond it and begin to seek to identify the flutes. What are the flutes? It is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you personally. I mean a God who knows your heart, who is eternal, who has always been and always will be. He knows the day of your birth and he knows the day of your death. He knows every attitude of your heart. He knows all about you and he has power to change you. Seek to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. If you have ears to hear this morning, hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Begin to seek to have an encounter where God so speaks into your life, you can never be the same again. And don't blame others. Don't blame circumstance. Don't blame the preacher, please. I exhort you. But begin to realize that you can prepare the ground of your soul that as you come to hear from God, it's not a man preaching, whether he preaches good or bad, but you begin to hear the Spirit of God speak to you personally, intimately, in your heart. And the Word of God begins to seep down into your heart and to bear fruit within you. Please stand together. Father, we praise you.